Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, September the 3rd. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Kent mum has told us how she feared for the health of her newborn baby after a sewage overspill in a hospital's maternity unit. The ward at Margate's QEQM had to be evacuated after it happened following heavy rain. Well, Melissa Hall had just given birth to baby Grace and has told us what happened.
The morning after I gave birth, there was a horrible smell of faeces. It was really strong, and we were in a bay with at least two other women, and a nurse came in and said that they were really sorry, but there was a sewage overspill. I went out to the toilet at one point, and it was coming from toilets and the shower room, and it had come out all in the hallway, like water all over the floor. And as I come back, I'd seen people walking through the sewage water into the bay next door as well. Like, these were like, I don't know, average people. They weren't the workers there. And we went into our room and the sink started making really loud glugging noises, like water was coming up. You could hear like spitting. But yeah, the sewage was coming up in the sink of our room. So we got evacuated, told to leave, and we were moved to different rooms. And you could, the workers were there and they were really quick and they were really good at dealing with it, but even some of them were stood in it. And as our bed and our stuff was moved and we were moved into the room, cross-contamination seemed to be an issue, because I believed when I was in that room that it had been walked through my new room. Eventually we were allowed to go back and use the bathrooms, and places of it were still shut off. But it's a pretty awkward feeling when you're washing your hands and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Now I feel dirty again and I need to go and find bacterial wipes and everything.
Those really important days after having a baby, when you're meant to be bonding with the baby, recovering as well, and enjoying those, you know, those newborn cuddles and things. That must have just been so incredibly stressful.
I was going to discharge my daughter because I wasn't allowed to go, but I said I need to leave, I can't stay. I actually got really upset. I started crying and panicking because I already know if I can smell it, there's particles in the air, which is mean we're breathing it in. My newborn baby's breathed it in. We've gone out in the hallway, it's on the floor. In my mind, I just think it's spreading everywhere and it's not clean, even though you tell me it's clean. I just didn't want to eat. They did get food from another ward there.
How's it left you feeling now if you had to go back to the hospital for any reason? Is it made you feel a bit anxious?
Well, one of the nurses said as if it was quite normal that the overspills happen from weather and it can happen anywhere in the hospital. So my impression is this is not the first time. I also find this really unacceptable how dirty it is and dangerous to breathe, to be around. It's not normal. I would like to know that something was going on so this wouldn't happen again. I mean, the birth of my first son was really traumatic, and we ended up being part of the Bill Kirkup investigation, and they were very understaffed back there, and that was very damaging to me and my son. But this time, at least the staff was amazing. So I wanted other mothers to know that, you know, you're going to go there, you're going to be safe, well taken care of. There's been a massive improvement in the hospital. There's no fault with the staff, really. Now, apparently, it's the infrastructure that's a problem.
The hospital is run by East Kent Hospitals Trust. They've sent us this statement.
Every step was taken to ensure the safe care of women and babies during this time, including evacuation of the affected areas and continuous cleaning. Contractors were on site immediately and all affected areas were deep cleaned and reopened for use by the following morning. The issue was caused by a combination of exceptionally heavy rainfall in a short period of time and inappropriate items being flushed down public toilets. Our estates team is identifying whether any further measures can be put in place to prevent this happening again. All families using the unit were spoken to, and our teams continued providing care while the affected spaces were restored.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. In a hearing's been told there was no way a bus driver could have seen a four-year-old boy before a fatal collision outside a Kent hospital. Zahir Jan Frazee had been visiting his nan at the QEQM in Margate before he was struck by the single decker on a zebra crossing in August last year. An inquest heard the vehicle was travelling at 5 miles per hour when the boy ran into the road. A coroner's concluded his death was an accident. A nurse who refused to perform CPR on a patient she believed was already dead has been suspended. Melissa Papandrea was working at Poplar's Care Centre in Maidstone when the resident stopped breathing. She was instructed by an emergency call handler to start resuscitation but didn't. Tribunal panels handed her a 12-month suspension. Crowds have gathered for a vigil in Dartford to show support for people impacted by flash floods in Nepal. Flags and candles were laid at the Civic Centre yesterday evening. There was also a moment of silence to remember those who've died. The death toll has reached more than 1,000. Meantime, a Kent restaurant is hoping to raise funds to help those caught up in the disaster. Thousands of people are still missing more than a week after the tragedy happened. Chandra Ariel is from Kathmandu Palace Restaurant in Ditton and was born in Nepal. He's been telling us what it's been like to see footage from the country.
It is very painful. Very, very painful. At the first day, we couldn't sleep at all. We have been phoning people and the relatives and the friends. Is everything okay? And wherever we can, what they need from us. By the grace of God, we physically we are safe. But this is the time of need. So what we can do, we were spending more time on phones and videos as well to help and encourage people who were down there.
And Chandra, do you mind telling us a little bit about this area of Nepal that's been really devastated? What's it like and what are the people there like?
The area which is mostly affected is in the border side of China and Nepal. That is like a Kerung. Kerung is one of the most used way to between China and Nepal. For goods and transport and those things. So that is the place where it is hit for the first time. And the river or the flood which came from that corner is gone through the Nepal, and it has been affected different parts of Nepal. And the people who lived near to that area affected more. So yesterday I saw news that up to now there is no any records of casualties. It is increasing every day. So it can be up to thousands and thousands.
It's just so incredibly sad. And I believe that area as well is quite popular with tourists going to Nepal too. Is that right?
Yeah, Nepal. And from that is the place where people go to the China as well. Like a holy pilgrims, they go there as well. And then that is the junction where thousands of people stop there in the morning to cross the border and those things. And so all of them are affected that time.
And other people that we've spoken to, they've said this is an incredibly, I mean, Nepal is a very beautiful country anyway, but this was an incredibly beautiful part of the country. Is that right?
Yeah. Especially what happens is Nepal is divided into plain areas and the hills and the mountains. And the people love to go from Kathmandu Valley towards the mountainous range to see the beauty of Nepal. And this happened towards the mountain range. Lots of tourists are affected as well.
Can you tell me a bit about the fundraiser that you've organised? So all the details around and what you're hoping to achieve from the fundraiser.
Well, we are trying our best to send as much money back home to the Prime Minister's fund. So we have we are planning to organise an event on Sunday evening, like a nice food and raising money as well, charging £35 per customers, but donating more than 70% back to the casualties. So £25 from each will go back to Nepal. So if we to £10 for the cost of the staff only, that is the plan.
So, I mean, it's an occasion where you can really get everyone together and enjoy the wonderful food as well, but know that they're all doing something very important at the moment to support the country.
That's the thing. The customers will come to us. They will enjoy the food as well. In the meantime, they are helping back the people who are in need as well.
As Chandra said, they're holding a fundraising buffet on Sunday with 70% of the money they raise going to the aid effort.
Kent Online reports.
A mum from Chatham fears she's being targeted after her car windows were smashed in two separate attacks. Footage at Kent Online today shows a man hitting the vehicle and running off in Waghorn Street, and it happened again just 5 days later. It's been reported to police. A motorcyclist from Belgium who came to the UK on a bike trip has been forced to get the Eurostar home after his vehicle was stolen outside his hotel in Rochester. It was worth more than £28,000 and was taken from the Travelodge car park last month. The owner's urging people to look out for the bike, which is a distinctive orange colour. Police are also investigating. A compensation con man who tried to get dodgy refunds from shops in Kent is facing another jail sentence. Ian McEnroe has appeared in court after targeting stores in Maidstone and Broadstairs earlier this year. The 62-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has racked up 180 previous convictions. He'll be sentenced later this month. Now, the MP for Dartford is urging the government to crack down on dangerous driving, which he says is putting the public at risk. It follows a crash in Teesside last month, which left seven people dead, including two police officers. Well, Jim Dixon has spoken in the Commons about issues he's noticed in his constituency.
Can I thank the Home Secretary for her statement? And I want to echo her words about the two brave police officers who lost their lives in this incident, in the collision on the A66. My constituency in Dartford has experienced very similar, deeply antisocial and incredibly dangerous experiences of racing and speeding on our roads, groups of predominantly young men gathering along our main roads, watching cars speeding down those busy roads as content is filmed to be posted on social media. We had a particularly bad spike and hotspot over this weekend in a stretch of road called Bob Dunn Way next to the Bridge Estate, and I want to thank local people who have raised this with me and BBC South East who have highlighted the problem. This activity is clearly dangerous for other road users, but really disruptive for local residents. So would the Home Secretary agree with me that we must do absolutely everything we can to tackle this lawlessness on our roads and the social media trends that appear to be driving it?
And this was the response from Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood.
Well, I thank my honourable friend for raising his constituency matter, which has some of the same issues as we've seen in Cleveland. I see the same in parts of Birmingham as well. He's absolutely right that we have to do everything we can to clamp down on this emerging pattern of behaviour that glorifies this type of activity that can lead to incredibly dangerous situations on our roads. As I said in response to an earlier question, in admittedly a reactive way, social media platforms are taking down the content that is being flagged with them, and I would urge him to make sure he shares with those platforms directly, but also through the Home Office, any local examples that he has as well, so that we can make sure that is taken down, and as the wider measures in the Online Safety Act are implemented, we can expect the platforms to take a much more proactive position on this, so that we can stop this trend in its tracks.
Kent Online reports.
If you head to Kent Online today, you can see a map that shows where new houses could be built in Maidstone in future. The so-called call for sites document shows areas of farmland that have been identified as suitable for possible development, but some have criticised the timing of the publication, as the local authority will be scrapped during local government reorganisation in 2 years' time. A service is being held in Dover today to honour men and women in the Merchant Navy. A wreath will be laid at the memorial on Marine Parade at the seafront. The event is aiming to celebrate the vital role of merchant seafarers both now and during previous conflicts. There's uncertainty over the future of one of Kent's biggest antique centres as the owners have put the building up for sale. Briggs's Emporium has been based in a former historic picture house in Herne Bay for the last 5 years. The father and son who run it say their decision is due to financial pressures, and they're hoping an investor will buy the site and allow them to stay on as paying tenants. Now, buses Buses in Folkestone have been accused of driving people away from the town after bringing in parking charges at a popular coastal beauty spot. You can no longer leave a car for free on the Lees between April and the end of September from 10am to 5pm or in neighbouring Metropole Road East and West. The council say the charges help manage demand, but some are concerned it'll affect the local economy. People visiting Folkestone or who live in the town have been telling us what they think.
I mean, it's very, very dear, and it's mainly for people coming down for the day. And really, they spend all their money on the arm here.
Especially if you've got like a big family, and there's a lot you've got to spend there anyway. I don't think parking should be one of your worries. Do you know what I mean? That you've got to worry about personally.
Well, I mean, in this day and age where everything's become more expensive, if they can keep parking tickets and charges to a reasonable level, I think more people would be willing to accept that.
So we spent £10.80 to park for 4 hours, which I think actually compared to Rochester prices and London prices isn't too bad.
£10 a day, something like that would be reasonable for how many hours. Obviously, if you are here less, then it would be more beneficial to put like an hour, £1 per hour.
Well, we have been in touch with the authority and they've told us that they've been asked by local residents to take action following complaints of obstructive parking. They add that since the charges have been introduced, availability and accessibility has been improved. And finally, the King has joked that the Bayeux Tapestry should be named the Canterbury Embroidery because of its Kent roots. He visited the British Museum to see it last night and said it was probably made by craftspeople right here in our county. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.